are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster. How's everybody doing?
I told you, this thing of asking people who can't respond to you, girl. Waste of breath. Anyway, today...
They can hear me.
They can hear you, they can't respond.
I'm actually touched right now.
All right, I'm fine.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good.
Great.
Yes, I'm awesome.
Wafara.
Yeah.
All right. So, this month... February, being so cliche, we're doing the whole month of love thing. This was our producer's idea, even though he's a pastor and shouldn't be celebrating Valentine's. Just saying.
That Cupid guy, that fat baby with the bow and arrow,
shooting fiery darts at people. Anyway, we are doing the love thing, yeah. So, our topic today is kind of like courtship and dating, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have two very special guests in the building to help us tackle this topic.
These guys seem really excited to be here.
I feel like they've made it now that they're on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Welcome, MJ, Mary, and Joseph.
Hey, what's up?
Mary in the house.
Hey, what's happening? Jay in the house.
Mimi and Jay.
La Jo.
Hi, Mom.
Bujiju. What's up? Josie. All right, yeah. So, Mary and Joseph, you guys can tell us a little bit about yourselves in terms of what you do and what else?
Who you are, where you're coming from, what you're all about. You know, just a young bio.
Alrighty. Well, I'm Mary. I suppose to bring relevance to why we're on the Love Podcast. Been married for 7 years, courted for 5 years before that.
Ish.
Two kids, early 30s. What do I do? Run a business, which is fun in Zimbabwe. But hey, I wouldn't change it for anything.
Yeah.
And yeah, Jay?
I'm the husband of M over there. You guys. Anyway, I'm the husband of M over there, and I'm the father of two daughters. I know you thought I was going to say three, right? So,
just have to be careful. Just have to be careful, right?
Two daughters, and I also run a business, and yeah, exciting times. I'm 34, just turned 34.
Oh, cool.
It's a good number.
Who's older?
I'm older.
By a lot?
I'm 32.
Okay. Reasonable. So we're the same age, basically.
Pretty much.
What are you saying?
When you get to a certain age, it's kind of just averages out.
Yeah, it's kind of a blur, but yeah.
Right, so you know what? Getting into the topic here. You guys, 5 years. You courted for 5 years.
Yes.
Wow. That's...
There's a reason for that, and I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
Do tell. We were young when we first met. I think we were...
I was 21.
I was 20. Okay. So, it did not make... Well, we did not feel that it made sense to get married any sooner than that. However, we had decided that that's what we were planning on doing.
Mm.
So, it wasn't like a... Yeah, it's trial and error kind of thing. We had committed that, okay, this is what we're working towards. We pretty much waited until we could afford it.
Yeah, it was basically a matter of time thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we got married at 26. I was 26. I think at that time I felt a bit more mature enough to get married.
Yeah.
Like financially mature or...
Just, you know, I think, you know, it just made sense to be married at 26 rather than 24. 24 was a bit steep, you know. You know, but 26 seemed, you know, quite decent.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess relationships take like a natural progression.
Yeah.
And I guess at that time, the time was right.
Okay, so how did you know? Because Mary said that you kind of knew that this is where you were heading. How early on did you know that that's what you guys were doing?
I think really, when it comes to relationships are, I would say, a decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, I mean, if you work on feelings go away, emotions go away, they change faster than the weather. So I think it's more of a decision of commitment. Yeah. You'll say that this is what I'm doing, this is what we're working towards together. So I think at that age, we made the decision, you know, simultaneously. Bilaterally,
well,
unilaterally.
There seems to be an objection coming from this corner here.
We met because we worked at the same place, and we naturally gravitated towards like hanging out all the time. We'd have tea together.
Okay, here's the thing.
Look,
here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
He's gonna tell you that I asked him out.
No, it's not that. When you say naturally gravitated towards each other, you mean that you took ownership of the new guy in the office.
We were the same age. I had to take
yes. You see, exactly. 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 You see now.
Basically.
Okay. Our story is long.
Okay, basically.
This podcast.
It's okay. We've got time.
We've seen each other before.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of thought he was cute, but I thought I was older than him because I was working and I used to see him in jeans. I thought, oh, cute guy.
So you basically thought he had no graft.
I was about to be a...
That is so funny. I figured Machino, so clearly he's not working.
Exactly.
And I was wearing jeans and, you know, t-shirts that were, you know, colorful.
Were you working or was that
were you working?
Every day.
I was working on my life.
Okay.
So I was the sugar mom in the house. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then we ended up working together.
Where had you seen him?
Just around. I actually worked with his sister.
Oh, okay.
So he would come and visit sometimes.
The plot thickens.
And
it was nepotism.
Anyway, so I'd seen him. But then he ended up, coming and working there as well.
But I was a temp.
Yes. Oh, okay. So we used to talk and stuff, and then eventually we became very, very, very good friends.
Okay, so this is how we became very good friends.
How?
She started bringing me sandwiches to work.
That's nice.
Were you doing that for all the other temps? Sorry, Mrs. Just
okay,
being nice.
Let me be honest. Did I start bringing you sandwiches before you were going out?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Strategy.
Anyway. Guys, this is a long time ago.
I'm told that if a woman when is making sure a guy is fed, then she likes him.
Yeah, she She was making a move. And for me, I mean, I was like, hey, man, I'm saving on my lunch.
Oh my God.
So what I want to know is that, so who finally then...
initiated the conversation?
Yes, who brought it down?
Wisdom did. Well, here's what happened. These are the days before WhatsApp. So we used to communicate via SMS. So he sent me this message before we were dating, telling me that he loved me, right? His timing was so bad because I was going to bum. There was no blue tick on SMS, so I received the message, right? So I didn't deliver it. But I didn't read it, but I went to bum. Now he didn't know if I'd read the message. What? So this small guy was chewing for like a good 30 minutes.
How long had you been receiving the sandwiches before you said the
L word?
You're like a straight to the point kind of guy. Huh?
Why waste time, Jamari?
How long it took him to get to that stage? How long had you been friends by that?
Not sure, but look, here's the thing. The sandwiches, right? Let me go back to the sandwiches. Right, so she made these sandwiches every day, you know, and I really appreciated the gesture. But I didn't like margarine. Right?
Okay.
She likes a lot of margarine.
I spoke I can't say brands, but like
you know, like the one on the advert,
like a thick layer.
You see the color.
So you know, I used to brave the Arabs.
Oh.
So I was like, you know what, child, this is so much effort, and you know, I think that really grew on me. Because you know, I think you know.
Yeah, well, look, I will say, ladies do always ask me whether it's okay to approach. And I think if a guy has shown interest in you and you've kind of assessed him, obviously, ladies assess very quickly. I don't think there's anything wrong with giving him energizers. Things to show him that, you know, pursuing. This could get somewhere. Because, I mean, the whole hard to get, don't answer his calls, they make him miss you. I don't know. That just hasn't worked for me. That's not my life.
I feel people are too calculative about, you know, relationships. You know, I don't want to see him tomorrow.
I've got a question for Joe, though. Because you were 21. And you'd feel like you'd mentally decided that, okay, no, she's like, I'm good now. I don't need to keep looking. At 21. Like most 21-year-olds are thinking, I want to play the field a bit. And then once I've gone through enough the options, then I'll find one.
Yeah, I think for me it was really about, you know, not one, you know, being tired of drama. You know, at that age, you know, like no one is serious and it's just distracting and it's a lot, you know, it's draining. So I was like, you know what, I can't keep, you know, being in a relationship because I used to, like, have long relationships, like 3 years, like, relationships.
You're that guy.
I was that guy. Because, you know what, it's, you know, stability was important for me. It still is. So, yeah, you know, finding someone that was equally as serious was gold, you know, especially at that age.
Yeah.
You know, when finding someone that's decided, that's focused is,
That's pretty cool. My question now is, where was God in all of this? Because that's the thing I want to know. Is this something that you guys had been praying about? We hear a lot about, you know, you've got to pray about your partner. God has got to lead you. All of this. I'm hearing a lot of, you know, sandwiches. I love you. was this something you guys were praying about or what?
Well, personally, you know, I wasn't a deeply spiritual. You know, I was just a guy, you know, but I just wanted stability, to be honest. You know, but Annabelle says she prayed and she was praying for me enough for both of us. So, you know, I partook of the, I partook of the,
of the grace.
Of the grace.
Well, for me, I think, my relationship with God became serious when I was around 16. So from that time, I had been actively praying about the person I would marry. I did date in high school. Useless. 3-month relationships. Useless.
Peer pressure type.
I don't know. Oh, useless. Anyway, so interestingly enough, the relationship I had before Jay was, I also thought, we're going to get married. I did. You know this. But it was also at a time when I was having a bit of a rebellious stage. So it was one of those relationships that was keeping me out of church and all that kind of stuff. And then, interestingly enough, this guy wasn't spiritual at all. And so we have this conference at my church, and the pastor said that if you believe in your... Well, you should must take your relationship onto the mountain, like Moses took Isaac. And then ask God if you should kill it or if there's
like Abraham.
If there's a ram in the thicket.
I prayed.
There was no ram. So I had to kill that thing.
So
after that, I was
Hold on. Sorry, before you carry on.
What would the ram look like in this story?
What would the ram be?
Well, I guess it was the concept that God will tell you if this is the promise. And Isaac was the son of the promise, and therefore he had to be kept alive. But obviously, but Abraham was prepared to kill him if that's what God said. Just that God said, don't kill him.
Honestly, guys, was there any need for me to be praying for him?
Are you recovered?
I was covered.
Are you recovered?
Yeah.
By the time I met Jay, it was something I was praying about. I think it's not advisable to start praying when you've caught feelings. You will hear that which you want to hear. So it is something I had been praying about. When we did discuss the fact that we really did like each other, I did tell him that I needed time to pray. And he was like, okay.
Had you ever been told that before?
It was the first time for me. It was the first time for me, and I thought, she's playing hard to get.
Yeah.
And maybe she needs to go and break up with her boyfriend.
Oh.
And she's buying time. Okay. So I was like, you know what?
So you're very practical guy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, sure. For me, at the time, it was everyone's in black and white, you know.
Yeah, the sandwiches. She likes me. What is she going to do?
Exactly. You know, where is she going? You know. Oh, look, we had, before we started dating, courting, or whatever. At the time, it was, all right, that. We had been, you know, hanging out like literally every day, going to watch movies and going for dinner, doing all this stuff. Right, and
on
after
a
all,
temp salary.
Sure. I was doing my thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well done.
So, anyway,
what was she paying?
I wasn't
paid. No, she wasn't paid.
No,
she wasn't
paid.
No, no, no. Half seas?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe in that.
Really?
Yeah.
Can everybody who's listening?
Y'all heard?
So no, anyway. So anyway, yeah, we had been seeing each other a lot, like literally every day. I'd walk her from like Old Mutual Center to 7th every day. Then I'd walk back to 4th Street. This is on a daily basis. So, you know, after all that, I was like, sure, bruh. You know, let's make it happen. But at the same time, you know, after all the movies and whatever, I'd get a handshake.
Oh, wow. No hugs.
No hugs.
Are you kidding?
Wow.
Yeah. So for me, that was like, bruh, this chick, who does she think she is?
Wow.
You know?
Was there a reason for that?
There was. I was, like I said, I was deeply spiritual. I think it was good for me, though. I'd had, it was just me and my conversations with God, and I didn't want other things to ignite feelings that shouldn't have been there. Yeah. So I wanted to try and keep him as arm's length as possible. I didn't hug any guys, actually, because I was just avoiding unnecessary attachments to people.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so fast forward. Right. You guys do this thing, and then you guys obviously start dating. Did you? Okay, because one of the things that I constantly hear among young people is the whole dating versus courting thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, or even in churches, we're taught don't date, court, right? And sometimes it's a very fine line because you don't really know what exactly it means. Is it just terms that are being used, semantics or whatever? So what I want to know, so when you guys were now doing this thing, you were the more spiritual one in the relationship. were you courting or were you dating or you were just doing your thing?
Well, we actually didn't know the term courting at the time, so we probably would have called it dating. But I think it's not really about what you call it, it's about the principle behind what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think dating primarily is, going the trial and error route. Like, I'll date a couple of people, I'll see how I'm feeling, I'll find myself through dating these people. But I mean, you're hitting people while you're finding yourself. And I think it's more about you and what do I want, and let me find me and whatever. But I think the principle behind courting is more that you are working towards something defined. Everybody knows where this relationship is going. Not that if you decide that you're courting, it means come hell or high water, you have to get married.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's that you are intentionally seeing if marriage is going to work, and you're doing what you can to make it work. I mean, we courted for 5 years. We never broke up. We had fights.
Wow.
We
never
had 2 hour
conversations
about issues.
Wow.
But we never actually broke up, because it was like we had agreed that, look, if something does come up, let's try and work it out, because we're going somewhere. Obviously, we had our deal breakers, just that I guess no deal breaker situations came up. But yeah, I mean, we met parents and older, well, in my case, it was older siblings, because, you know, girls' parents and boyfriends, they don't want to hear that. But I met his mom and dad quite early on, probably first few months and stuff. So we were intentionally working on getting there. The term courtship then came up. I think we were married by then. We're like,
That was a Cambridge syllabus.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we're in Zimsek. So.
Oh my goodness.
So.
Okay, so in terms of accountability, right? I hear you, you mentioned their parents and older siblings.
Mm.
Was there any form of accountability structure? And if, I'm using a lot of Christianese terms here because this this is what is being encouraged in church, right? That there's got to be accountability. So were you guys accountable to a pastor or some sort of eldership within your churches?
Yeah, I think initially we were, but then the couple relocated. They were pastors, well, elders at the church that we're in.
Yeah.
And then they relocated. But then I think then after that, it was just, you know, the settings we're in, you know, youth groups, you know, friends, family that, you know, just knew about the relationship. You know, so I think when you grow the structure from just the two of you to other people being somewhat involved or overseeing or being involved just or whatever, just knowing about it, it becomes a form of accountability.
Right.
Right? Where obviously people will ask you, how's friends or how are things? So it's not formal, but because everyone knows about you, they'll ask about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, if you're in a relationship, people will always ask about your partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was in a form of accountability. And because we were always seen together at literally every any given time, you know, there were always those questions that were asked. And yeah, you know, maybe a question here, a question there. It adds up to a lot of accountability, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it.
Mm.
Okay. And I guess my final question in this section is signs. Like, you know, people talk about God showing you a sign. You want to see some sort of confirmation that this is the one, you know, all of this stuff.
Mm.
In your case, was there any of that, right? Did you look for signs, for signals, things that would give you the, I guess, the confidence that, you know what, God is in this, and there's been this year, or what was there any of that kind of stuff?
Especially for Mary, because you were dating, I mean, I guess if your pastor would ask you, okay, how is he spiritually, you'd have to be like, well, he's working on it. And usually a pastor will see that as a red flag. Why are you doing missionary dating, Gwans?
Yeah, there was a sign, the fleece was wet and the ground was dry. Anyway, no, my name is Gideon. Signs. I don't know, hey. Well, I have been taught the whole list concept.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Which is, have three lists.
Three lists?
Yes.
Did you have, three things on your list, maybe? No, not three lists.
All right.
Negotiables, non-negotiables, and workables.
Oh.
That's the three lists. How many guys have heard of the three lists?
No.
Anyway, so your negotiables are things that you don't mind. I mean, double light,
six pack, no short, six pack.
What? Doesn't matter. Your non-negotiables are things that are your deal breakers, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether or not the person saved.
Bad accent.
You know, the kind of character things that matter to you. And then your workables are things where you can see potential in someone. And
okay,
look, they may not be what you would want them to be, but you can see that they're working on it. So I think that was probably the case as far as Joe and his spiritual side of things. He did make an effort, and he did want to learn about God more, and I introduced him to Christian rap and stuff. And she used to listen to it, unless he was just saying it.
I feel like
he
did. No, I think for me it was good to, you know, having that transition. You know, I wasn't going to go from Young Money to Hillsong. You know, I needed a bit of a break in between something. You know, I needed a bridge. You know, to cross the waters. But, yeah, I mean, it's a big change. And even as a young man, Hillsong says nothing to you, you know.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, you know, as a young man, represent you, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, the Lecrae's and the
young black man.
Cross movement. Yes. Those guys. So I think for me, it was quite a transition. Because I was a Christian, you know.
You were a Christian.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, not a fanatic, you know. Mary was a bit of a fanatic. At the time.
She's not even shy.
Me from many things.
Yeah, it was scary. Yeah, I mean, we'd go to church and, you know, it was a hectic church. You know what I mean by a hectic church? You know, where you start the service, everyone's sitting chilled. End of service, chairs are all aside, on the sides of the room. And you're like, gee.
Like something people, happened.
And you're trying to dodge eye contact with the pastor, like, bruh, I cannot see.
I cannot see. From me yet.
Yeah, so Mary would you know, be really into it. And, you know, I always used to be worried that, you know, God would show her a sign that this is not the guy.
Yes, I would be so scared.
I'd be like, sha. You know, so sometimes, you know, she'd be caught in the spirit. She'd start crying. And I'd be scared to say, hey, sha, saka. You know, I want to know, but I don't want to know. Do you get what I'm saying? So...
Actually,
yeah, so it was quite hectic, but for me it was good because it was a big contrast from the church I was in, and yeah, it gave me a good balance.
Was that an attractive thing about her? Her fanaticism at the time, or was it something you were like, I hope this changes in the future?
I think for me it was really different from, you know, what I was used to. And I think it was a good balance, you know, where, I mean, Mary was and is balanced at the, you know, was and is balanced. So it wasn't something that I was like, hey, Sha, this is too much. Because on the other end, you know, yeah, she was just a...
pretty normal.
Yeah, a person. I don't stand here. You know, I'm like, who are you? You know?
All right, cool. This is really cool, man. This is really cool. So basically, you were yourself. You didn't try to become a different person to kind of suit what she was or whatever. You maintained.
And yeah, I mean, look, I think even up to today, I'm myself.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the best I can offer to a relationship.
Right.
And I think the problem is when people, you know, change themselves, you know, it's unsustainable.
Yeah.
You know, in the long run.
Yeah.
You know, so I knew what I was getting into. She knew what she was getting into. She knew who I was. And I think that is the most important thing in a relationship, to know, you know, who your person is, and that it's not an act.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we mentioned earlier that, you know, we weren't calculative about a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, if I wanted to see her, I'd say, hey, I want to see you. Mm-hmm. If she wanted to see me, she'd say, I want to see. If she wanted to call me, she'd call me.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't like, sha, you know, and I'm one every day, I know it's in the Jairi, that kind of thing. You know, it was more of, you know, let's do, and let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there anything, looking back now, that you would change about your dating period?
I don't know. I think...
Would you shorten it? Maybe?
Nah, I don't think so.
Look, I think relationships are unique, and, you know, I guess the times and seasons, you know, differ from relationship to relationship. And I think, you know, knowing where you're at is very important. You know, obviously, the older you get, the shorter the courtship should be. You know.
Why is that?
Yeah, that's why I said before, I wouldn't recommend 5 years.
Almost. Yeah. I mean, hey. The older you get, the shorter the courtship should be. And, I mean, really, I think when you're older, you're set in your ways.
Yeah.
You know, people hardly change. And I think because we're younger, we're able to more of tweak and... You know, we're more malleable than a 27-year-old, 28-year-old. You sit in your ways. You know what you want. This is the way you do stuff.
Yeah.
And I think there it's more difficult, not impossible, to compromise.
Right.
You know, on your values, the way you do things. And yeah. So I think, yeah, I wouldn't change anything. Obviously, because it brought us thus far. You know, maybe if things were different, I'd be like, ah, cha, you know what, girl? You know, I wouldn't have done X, Y, Z. So,
So what I get from what you guys are saying is that you guys have basically, you've been yourselves. You've allowed things to just happen and not, I guess the word is you haven't been artificial about what you're doing, right? Mm. Whereas sometimes I feel like as Christians, we have, maybe it's because we feel this responsibility or this pressure to act a certain way, to be a certain way, right? And I guess there's expectations, especially from church as well, or from the circles that we hang around, that sometimes people feel like they have to be a certain way, right? To a point where, and I mean, I'll be honest, I observe these things. Sometimes you watch people that are Christians that are dating and you're thinking, okay, what's going on here? You know, people feel like they have to say certain things or they have to behave a certain way. So I'm just saying that, what would you guys have to say about that? Where, you know, sometimes there's certain pressures that come with being a Christian, someone who's in church, right? And sometimes the pressures are that you have to create a certain perception. You have to be viewed in a certain way, or you know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, maybe sometimes we actually stop being ourselves because we have to live up to a certain standard or whatever perception that's there.
Yeah. I think that I think the biggest challenge that we have is, as Christians, is conformity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, you lose your identity. So because you want to fit a certain mold, you know, a guy with the dreadlocks is still a Christian. A guy with ripped jeans is still a Christian. You know what I mean? So I think our identity or our perception of Christianity is suit and tie, white shirt, shiny shoes, whatever. So if you're doing that, then you mean then you fit this particular mold.
Right.
So no one worries about you. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can, in a church, you can actually go under the radar. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you... Yeah, which is a dangerous thing. Because as Christians, we know what to say, when to say it, how to dress, and all of that stuff. So I think we lose our authenticity and what we can contribute to the kingdom when we are, you know...
Copy and paste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I think when it comes to accountability, I think... Honestly, sometimes people over-account.
Over-account to people who you can't be honest with.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah, some people over-account, or you can be stuck in a relationship because you can't go back to Pastor so-and-so and say, look, these are the problems that we're facing. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because Pastor so-and-so is like way up there and you don't want to disappoint. So I think... You know, over counting. And, you know, I think for also for ladies, you know, I've noticed this in some churches where, you know, they're ladies that are closer to the pastors and whatever. It becomes intimidating for guys to even approach these girls. Because if this guy approaches this girl, there are questions from Pastor so-and-so. Yeah. What do you want with my daughter? What do you want with my daughter? What do you want with my daughter? So I think sometimes being over accountable, you lose that sort of autonomy. You know, I mean, the church is, if the church is doing a good job at raising us, it should be allowed to set us free.
It's really good.
But, okay, this might be a bit personal, and you're at liberty not to answer. But 5 years is a long time. I know, actually, where I used to go to church, they'd actually advocate that within a year, because the passion will be burning, so you don't want to. You don't want to fall into sin or whatever. I don't know how they find many ways to say it. So, how did you guys deal with that aspect? Because I mean, some churches will say during courtship the most you can do is hold hands, and then you know you can start all that other stuff.
Look, the honest truth is that with couples, where there's a will, there's a way. You know, so if
I'm listening.
No, I'm saying you can say all these things that you know, don't hold hands, don't whatever. Look,
group dating, that's another thing that's part of
courtship. Group dating is not practical.
Never be alone together. You must always have a chaperone.
Group dating is not practical because Cookie Monster won't have money, and I'm supposed to pay for him as well. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense.
Like, you're the one who wants to go out with
you. Exactly. It's like, I'm buying 3 Black Panther tickets, you know, when I really want to go with, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
But so,
sort of the pride of it, to be honest.
Yeah, so it's certain things, the theory makes sense.
Right.
You know, and it's with absolute good intention. Uh-huh. But I think the practical side is that, you know, group dating sometimes happens by mistake. You know, you happen to go to a to a party or whatever, but two people, they want to see each other, more often than I want. They want to see the other friend.
Exactly.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
So the chances of Cookie Monster being there every time I want to see Mary are unlikely.
Yeah. I wouldn't say group. Yeah, I think group dating in the idea of let's all go for lunch together, not practical, but certainly one key thing to avoid is being alone together. So if one of you stays alone, just avoid going to their house. So if you want to do the whole I'll make you dinner thing, then invite a friend. Otherwise, look, go to a restaurant. There's other people around. You behave yourselves. You know, and stuff like that. But the whole... Cause I mean, look, you're trying to get to know someone for who they really are.
Right.
And they may be... And I think another thing that also shows you that your relationship is going in the right direction is if there are things I can also tell Jay that I can't ordinarily tell the group.
Yeah.
You know, surely that's also one of the key signs that this is somebody that you can be completely honest with and share your life with.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, one of the reasons why I did say I wouldn't recommend 5 years is because of that. The whole purity aspect was a challenge because that was a long time.
Yeah.
So I think the older you get, definitely the more complicated that side of things does become.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's also why I think it's important to account to people who you can be honest with.
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to then go back to Pastor Ningi and say, oh, we fell again. Yeah. Because you're likely to get the kind of responses that, when in those scenarios, when I would go and tell someone that, oh, okay, we went a little bit too far, so he doesn't really love you. Oh. Yeah, you must leave him. It's always the guy's fault. Like, females, hey.
It's like we're just being taken on this journey unwillingly. So,
exactly. That's not true. We need to stop painting that picture, guys.
That's so good. Beings. Thank you for liberating, for freeing us.
So I think that is another challenge. So I think that's why it's important to also account to people who you can be honest with that. Okay, look, this is the issue, and they'll try and help you through it, not just try and rescue you from it.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So what I'm hearing, and listen, I'm not trying to throw shade on pastors or anything, but I think some pastors are really impractical, right? And listen, this is not the first time. I've heard... people complain about this, right? Or mention this, that, you know, you go to somebody that you feel is an authority figure and you tell them that, hey, listen, this is what's happened. And I guess they're doing it with the intention to help or something, but that maybe it's because they don't really understand what's actually going on. Listen, people are together because they like each other, because they're attracted to each other, right? So things are going to happen. And it doesn't always mean that if two people end up falling, one of them is a demon or something. You know what I'm trying to say? But it's just because they're two individuals. It could be because they're two individuals that genuinely like each other, that are attracted to each other, and things happen. So to then demonize the guy or the girl or whatever is also a little impractical. So maybe to our pastors out there who are listening, those are things you need to think about. You know, be practical, and we're young people. So if you're older, and you also need to think about the kind of advice you're giving young people, because they don't think the way that you do.
No, but honestly, they give advice that they themselves didn't follow. Like, most of them are not speaking from this is how I did it.
You must stop,
and it worked
stop
for
it.
Me. It's because they made all the mistakes, then they don't want you to do it.
But I suppose I suppose they are trying to kind of help us, well, young people, do things the best way. Because truth is, sexual purity isn't something that stops being a problem just because you said I do. There will be attractive people around you besides your spouse.
That's okay.
So it is something that you do need to try and harness and deal with. Because, I mean, for us it's been 7 years. I don't know what... gonna be like in 15 years from now, and I don't know. I haven't started using anti-wrinkle creams. Maybe I should start. Who knows what I'm gonna look like? But yeah, truth be told, there will be scenarios that will come up. So I think there is a lot of value in trying to preserve your purity as much as you can, and to
Yeah.
With the self-control issues.
You know, I know this is a bit of a catch-22 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because I also feel like that chemistry is very important. That attraction is very important, especially right. for a marriage, uh-huh. you know. Yes, of course, I know there's the talk about, hey, shall we getting married anyway? Mm-hmm. So, what's the problem?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it's important for a marriage, you know, the chemistry is important to be attracted to your partner.
Right.
You know, how you totally
kill
that side until the day you say I do is a mystery to me. But I think it makes for a healthy, you know, marriage when, you know, there's that attraction.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, of course you have to manage it, but I think it's important that two people are actually sexually attracted to each other.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just following up on that question, how has that impacted your marriage, right? If I can ask that. Or rather, let me say, the fact that you guys had a few episodes, I guess, right, incidents where things happened, has that impacted your marriage in any way? Or it was just like a natural flow?
I don't even know what this guy's asking. I hope you all understand what he's asking.
No, I can't say at this point. Yeah, I don't think so. I actually remember having a discussion with a group of married couples a few years back where we actually asked ourselves that question that, okay, we all go on and on about this whole you must remain pure thing, but what does a relationship where people did and a relationship where people didn't look like? Like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
I think one of the things that did come up was some of the men kind of felt like on the whole authority side of things, maybe it kind of compromised their authority levels, because maybe their wife might feel like, I don't know, he's not as disciplined as he should be or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know. But to be honest, we didn't find an answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, in discipline, yeah, sugar. includes you. Hey. I mean, it was.
They lead, they're supposed to lead.
Yeah, but if discipline was external, it would be a different thing.
Mm.
You know, so I think some things, even you as the female, you let it pass because it includes you.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be crazy and I'm crazy with you, you're like, at least it's with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know if it really discards the authority.
Yeah. I suppose what it is more at the end of the day is just choosing to do things that please God over that please yourself. I think that's the most important aspect.
Yeah.
That obviously you would have allowed your flesh to be more prominent and all of that. So I think maybe that's the more key aspect, which is, I guess, not necessarily about it necessarily affecting your marriage per se, but it just affecting your relationship with God to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. Maybe we'll be back. We'll let you know.
Yeah, the whole thing can be quite
confusing. We pray for crop failure. So
what I want to know, maybe from, I guess from the both of you, is what are some of the critical things that you must deal with, right, before you get married? I think marriage is such a big step, right? And in terms of preparing yourself for it, you know, just practical things. What are some of those things that you would say, based on your experience now, are crucial?
I think for the man, it's important to be able to, for lack of a better term, die to self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just basically put your spouse or partner over you, wanting better for your partner.
Right.
You know, wanting, I guess, the best, you know, over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think being able to sacrifice, you know, it's a very big thing, you know, when you're married, to say that, look, I can go without for you. And I think that that's very important, especially when you then go on to have kids and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, where, you know, it's not just about you, but it's about, you know, the bigger picture.
Yeah.
You know, also learning to cast a vision if mm-hmm. you don't already.
Mm-hmm.
I think one big thing for us was, you know, having something that was bigger than our relationship, you know, that we were working on together or that we envisioned together,
right,
that, you know, kept us together.
Yeah.
To say that, look, this thing is bigger than just the two of us. Let's focus on our relationship so that this thing can happen.
Right.
Yeah. So I think more often than not, you know, couples don't have that external thing that, you know, represents them and impacts people around them, all of that stuff. So decisions that they make only affect them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But if you have something that's, yeah.
Can you give me an example? Are you talking about a project or are you talking about...
Yeah, it can be a project, it can be a ministry, it can be things that impact other people.
Right.
You know, that you work together on. You know, maybe you're building something. Maybe it's a business. Maybe it's a house. But I remember we started our business when we were still dating. You know, so in essence, it's kind of a marriage. You know, because you know when you work on something together and it's registered and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You it's a form of commitment.
Yeah.
You know, so. I think by the time the wedding came, we had been having it, you know. We had been dealing with finances, we had been dealing with communication, we had been dealing with all sorts of things that, you know, I guess a married couple would.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess it was that much easier for us, you know, when we got married to deal with, you know, certain things. Because we had that sort of, that runway.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I guess from the lady's perspective, that would be things to prepare for. Well, I guess get organized. You're gonna have a lot of things
in submission. In submission.
anyway.
What else?
Yeah, but yeah, you're submission.
I think yeah. Also, just learn to. I think one very important thing is learn to love yourself and to take care of yourself. It becomes very difficult when you've got kids and all of that. Take care of yourself. And a very unhealthy thing that a lot of ladies then do is then attach their self-worth to their man and expect him to be the one who makes you feel beautiful and makes me feel special. What? And then the day you guys have a fight, the whole world falls down.
Yeah.
So I remember one thing our marriage counselors always say is you must always remember that your spouse does not fulfill your deepest needs.
Mm.
That's what your relationship with God is for.
Yeah.
And that's why you need to actually like yourself. So
uh-huh.
Work on your own self-esteem by yourself. Work on loving yourself by yourself so that you're not putting unnecessary pressure on your husband to be your all-in-all. The R&B song said, you're my everything. Whoa,
I hate those songs.
That's unhealthy. People must go for therapy. Not a good thing. So, yeah.
All right. So you guys didn't necessarily pray for signs. You kind of just trusted the process of what was happening with the relationship naturally. But do you guys believe that there's such a thing as the one that, like, God has predestined for you, Ephitas, to be your person in this journey?
I mean, look, we've had many discussions about this, you know, with some guys, with Mary as well. And look, just imagine the imbalance that is caused by someone getting the one that's not for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone in the world is left without their one.
Messes
up the whole
butterfly effect.
Yeah, just imagine. You know, so you know, I think what we then realize is that there's a bit of a spectrum, you know, of ones for you. You know. Right? And if you fall within that spectrum, you know, and you find one within that particular band, you'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we're okay. All right? And then there's a band that's on top there, right? That I guess If you fall into that band, it'll just be fireworks. You know what I mean? But I think this one is safe. You'll be okay. No one will ask Kutisha, hey, why did you marry this one? You'll be fine. You'll be fine. You live your life. You'll have your... Yeah, you'll be okay. Mm. Right? But I think, you know, in the rare instances where the one meets the one, hey, just think about that permutation and combination.
Mm.
The one meeting the one. It's quite, you know...
Yeah. And I think this whole the one concept is what has made so many single people so indecisive.
Yeah.
Because we just get so worked up about, what if it's not the one? Then we just keep looking, what? So I think for us, a big part of our relationship being successful was just making the decision you know what, I think we can make this work.
And
we decided to. But sometimes if you put too much faith in this phantom concept that, once the stars are aligned, everything's just going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's
not our story.
Yeah, and I also feel like I think if you fall within that safe band, you can create and build the one together.
Mm.
Right. So I meet Mary at 20 years old. I'm 21. I'm certainly not the one. Because, I mean, I don't have a job, right? But, you know, working on creating the one over 10, 15, 20 years creates that magical effect. And I think that's the beauty of building together and working towards something. Mm. Because you get what you want, you ultimately want, because you're working on it.
Mm.
You know, finding one that is complete and really ticks all your boxes.
Yeah,
you end up an accessory.
Mm.
You know, but when you work together, you're both assets to each other, and build and you grow and you become something that, I guess, you know, you wouldn't be able to pick out of the street.
The two become one.
They become one.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool, man.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us and for everything you learned along the way.
Mm-hmm. And, thank you. You are honored.
We shall await
third daughter
or son.
Mm. You're awaiting what?
The third daughter or son.
In the fourth and the fifth. No. And the sixth.
Okay. You got to... You're visionary.
Another episode. I would definitely say that what I loved about what you guys are saying is just the practicality of everything and how you approached everything. Because, you know...
It was spiritual, but not always.
Yeah. And I think all of us could learn something from that. That God is moving. And for God to move, you know, people don't have to be like falling over and all kinds of weird things happening. That God is in the everyday stuff, in the practical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not... I think sometimes we tend to over-spiritualize things, myself included. And just hearing you guys speak is, you know, it's a breath of fresh air. Yeah. So that's really dope.
Thank you, MJ.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. And that is Radiant Culture signing out for today.
Yeah.
Peace.
We're out.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.